The reading is Paul's letter to Philemon, which can be found on page 272 in the New Testament section of the Church Bibles. Paul asks Philemon, who was a prominent Christian, probably in the church at Colossae in Asia Minor, to forgive and be reconciled with his runaway slave, Onesimus, who is now a Christian, and who Paul is sending back to his master, Philemon, with this letter. From Paul, a prisoner for the sake of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy, to our friend and fellow worker Philemon, and the church that meets in your house, and our sister Apphia, and our fellow soldier Archippus. May God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Brother Philemon, every time I pray, I mention you and give thanks to my God, for I hear of your love for all God's people and the faith you have in the Lord Jesus. My prayer is that our fellowship with you as believers will bring about a deeper understanding of every blessing which we have in our life in union with Christ. Your love, dear brother, has brought me great joy and much encouragement. You have cheered the hearts of all God's people. For this reason, I could be bold enough, as your brother in Christ, to order you to do what should be done. But because I love you, I make a request instead. I do this even though I am Paul, the ambassador of Christ Jesus, and at present also a prisoner for his sake. So I make a request to you on behalf of Onesimus, who is my own son in Christ. For while in prison, I have become his spiritual father. At one time, he was of no use to you, but now he is useful. The word Onesimus actually means useful. Useful both to you and to me. I'm sending him back to you now, and with him goes my heart. I would like to keep him here with me while I'm in prison for the gospel's sake, so that he could help me in your place. However, I do not want to force you to help me. Rather, I would like you to do it of your own free will. So I will not do anything unless you agree. It may be that Onesimus was away from you for a short time so that you might have him back for all time. And now he is not just a slave, but much more than a slave. He is a dear brother in Christ. How much he means to me, and how much more he will mean to you, both as a slave and as a brother in the Lord. So, if you think of me as your partner, welcome him back, just as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to my account. Here, I will write this with my own hand. I, Paul, will pay you back. I should not have to remind you, of course, that you owe it your very self to me. So, my brother, please do me this favour for the Lord's sake, as a brother in Christ. Cheer me up. I am sure as I write this, that you will do what I ask. In fact, I know that you will do even more. At the same time, get a room ready for me, because I hope that God will answer the prayers of all of you and give me back to you. Epaphras, who is in prison with me for the sake of Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. So do my fellow workers, Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
In Colossae lived a man named Philemon, who owned a slave named Onesimus. Colossae was a town in Asia Minor, to the east of the capital Ephesus. Though Paul hadn't actually established the church there, it was an area for which he did take responsibility when he was sending out workers from Ephesus. Philemon had been converted, and he became a prominent Christian in Colossae. He was probably also a prominent citizen, because the church in Colossae, we're told, met in his house. As such, Philemon was one of the millions of people in the Roman Empire who owned slaves. There were about 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire, and so owning slaves was a normal way of life, nothing exceptional. Onesimus had had enough of being a slave, though, and it seems he wanted to be free. So he made up his mind to run away. He knew he'd have to go far away to reduce the risk of being caught, so he ran away as far as Rome, we're told. Philemon was a good master, but if Onesimus was caught, it would mean being branded as a fugitive with the dreaded letter F to show him as a runaway. So Onesimus set off for Rome, and probably he had to steal the money he needed for the journey from Philemon. By the time he reached Rome, Paul was in prison there. He was guarded day and night by soldiers. But it wasn't a confined prison as we think of it. You'd describe it more as being under house arrest. And so, although Paul was guarded, he was free to receive visitors, and people were free to come and see him and listen to him. For the 2 years that Paul was there, he spent his time teaching about Jesus and teaching about the kingdom of God. When Onesimus got to Rome, he heard about Paul and went to see him. And through Paul, we're told, Onesimus became a Christian. Onesimus was very sorry to see Paul always in chains and began to make himself useful to Paul. In fact, he was so useful to Paul that Paul described him as my own son in Christ, and himself as becoming Onesimus's spiritual father. But of course, there was a problem. Onesimus was a runaway slave, and Paul knew that it was his duty to get him back to his master Philemon. But on the other hand, he loved Onesimus, and he didn't want Onesimus to suffer. No one knew better than Paul the risk he was taking if he sent Onesimus back to Philemon. A master had absolute, complete power over a slave. The slave wasn't a person, the slave was a thing that the master bought and used. A master could punish slaves with a rod or a lash or a knot, and if slaves failed to conform, they could even be crucified. A master could kill his slave. With about 60 million slaves in the empire, the danger of revolt, of course, had to be guarded against. So Paul decided to write a letter to Philemon for Onesimus to take with him. In it, Paul made a pun on Onesimus's name, which, as Stephen mentioned, means profitable or useful. Once, Paul said, Onesimus was a useless fellow, but now he's useful. Now he's not just Onesimus by name, he's Onesimus by nature too. So Paul's letter begged Philemon to take Onesimus back, not as if he were just a slave, but now as a Christian brother. Because Paul thought of Onesimus as a son in the faith, he begged Philemon to receive him as he would receive Paul himself. Paul, of course, doesn't ask Philemon to set his slave free. Instead, Paul reminds Philemon of a new relationship that exists between Christians. Christians are one body, whether slaves or free, Jew or Greek, male or female. Onesimus had run away as a slave. He was coming back as a slave, but also as a brother in the Lord. In relationship between Christians, social grades and castes cease to matter. If the master treats the slave as Christ would have treated him, and if the slave serves the master as he would serve Christ, it no longer matters very much if one is called a slave and one is called the master. Belief in Jesus made the slave a better slave, a more efficient servant. This was because he had to do things in such a way as to offer his work to Christ. But it didn't mean, on the other hand, that the master was going to be soft or easygoing. It meant that instead of treating the slave as a thing, he was going to treat his slave as a brother in Christ. So Paul pleads for Onesimus and also tells Philemon that he himself will make up for everything that Onesimus owes his master or for any wrong he's done. I, Paul, will pay you back. And Paul puts it in his letter in his own handwriting. The letter notes that. I, Paul, will pay you back. He's serious about it. Now, the New Testament doesn't tell us what happened when Onesimus gave Paul's letter to Philemon. It's thought possible, though, that Onesimus, the runaway slave, later became the great bishop of Ephesus. How do we know that might be true? Well, many years later, Ignatius was being taken to Rome to be executed. He stopped at Smyrna and wrote a letter to the church at Ephesus. And he wrote about their wonderful bishop. The bishop's name was Onesimus. And Ignatius used the same pun on the name that Paul had said, Onesimus by name, Onesimus by nature, the useful, profitable one in Christ. If it's true, it could be that the bishop insisted that the letter to Philemon should be kept to tell what Christ, through Paul, had done for him. We can't be sure of that, but it makes a lovely story of God's grace, and we can hope that it may be true. So we've read the letter, we've looked at the story. Now, what can we learn then from the letter today that might be helpful to us in our own lives? First and foremost, perhaps, I think we can learn that Jesus has power to change lives. The letter reminds us of the power of Jesus that he has to make people better. Paul admits that Onesimus had been useless to his master, but belief in Jesus then made him useful both to Paul and Philemon. Whatever we have been like before, when we offer our lives to Christ and seek his help, he enables us to become more like him and more useful to others. It's as we said last week, God can use us in his service and work through us to show his love for other people if we make our lives available to him. Then secondly, Jesus has the power to change lives, but we still have to accept the consequences of our actions, the things that we do. Being a Christian isn't something that helps us escape from the past or escape from the things that we do and run away from them. Being a Christian enables us to face the past and then rise above it. We're expected to face and deal with the consequences of what we do, just as Onesimus had to go back to his master and face whatever might be coming to him as a runaway slave. Being a Christian is never escape, it's always conquest. As Christians, we must be ready to welcome back anybody who's made a mistake. This is what was being asked of Philemon. We may be tempted to treat others who've taken a wrong turning with suspicion and not prepared to trust them again. But Jesus goes on trusting us. When people make mistakes, the way back can be very hard. But we can't expect God to forgive us if we don't forgive others who we feel have gone wrong or who have wronged us. Being prepared to both accept and offer forgiveness is an important part of every Christian life. And then Paul expected, it seems, the best from others. He was confident that Philemon would do what he'd asked in the letter. And that's a good rule for us too, surely. To expect the best from others is often more than halfway to actually getting it. Our attitude needs to be like Paul's, who was sure that Philemon would do what was being asked of him, even though it was a difficult thing to do. This letter reminds us too that belief in Jesus makes us into one family. It calls all of us who share that belief to treat one another and to act in all things as if what we do is being done for Christ. Paul wanted Philemon and Onesimus to put this into practice in that master-slave relationship. Today, we don't have slaves, but for us, surely it could make a big difference in, for example, a school or a college, if we really put it into practice in the student-teacher relationship. Or how much difference could it make at work if we really, really put it into practice in an employer-employee relationship, where so often it doesn't happen. Within the Christian family and reaching out from this family, we're called, like Paul, to put Christian love into action. Paul clearly loved Onesimus, and he was willing to risk his friendship with Philemon and show his faith in Onesimus when he wrote this letter. He was also willing to provide financial support if it was needed, to pay Onesimus's debts out of his own pocket. And all this while Paul was in prison himself. You'd think that he might want others to be caring for him and looking after him and sympathetic to him. But while he's in prison, he goes to great lengths to put God's love into action and care for others himself. And that leads us on, lastly, to the fact that Paul's letter makes us aware that someone has to pay the price for sin. Onesimus had almost certainly had to steal from Philemon to travel to Rome when he ran away. Paul was prepared to take on this responsibility and repay in full himself. His was a real Christ-like action, and I think it reminds us of the fact that for each one of us, Jesus Christ was prepared to pay the price for our sin by his death on the cross, so that we may freely receive forgiveness from him when we come in need. This is what God has already done for us, for each one of us. So our final question today, how are we responding to God's sacrifice for us?